previously on the Dave Damashek football program.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek.
What's going down? I hope all is well wherever you are.
Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's.
Real quick though, Dave, where do you rank yourself on a scale from 1 to 25 out of people you know?
Well,
no drive here. I'm a 1.
Well, mazel tov. I'm being so happy with yourself.
Cam Newton is the MVP.
What?
If it's not Cam Newton for MVP, it's stuffing.
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 He says, waiter, give me the wheel.
Or the stuffing.
Let it begin!
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Oh, I'm a little choked up there after that. There they are. They're all grown up now. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program.
If the narcissism couldn't be magnified anymore. There it is. My employees doing an impression of me. Isn't this great?
That's right. You can't ask for anything more. You know what? I am loving it, and we're presented as always by McDonald's all day breakfast. Go get it for yourself. Unless you're in the mood for a hot dog slathered in ketchup. And if you need that, we can accommodate you here in Studio 66 on this day.
Ah, boy.
Let's say hello to everybody. First of all, banner job. It's a sad day, though. The reason that you got that work from the producers behind our glass, Emma VP, it's her last day. She has been a significant part of the DDFP production and beyond here at NFL Media. It's very sad for us that we're losing her.
Why are you firing her?
Well, you know what? Because it keeps everybody else on their toes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you have to sacrifice somebody for the
greater good. You just pulled the name from the hat. Yeah. It wasn't anything she did.
I mean, no, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, if I were, listen,
you don't want to air that here?
Yeah, well, I don't want to air it here, one, but I mean, it wasn't as simple as throwing darts. I mean, if I were going to pick, right. You know, clearly, obviously,
a
black tie.
A laundry list of,
yeah. Well, I mean, black tie. I think we all agree it would be black tie
You know what you could do for black tie, though, is you can just recommend to other people in the industry, listen, I've got this bang-up producer that we're limiting him. He has so much room to grow. Why don't you bring him onto your team?
Hey, around the NFL, guys, you got to have black tie all over your show, believe me.
Well, honey, you've got a show, honey. Why don't you?
See, I'm already hip to this, right. So I would understand what was happening here.
That reminds me, shout out to the Around the NFL show, acknowledged by Awful Announcing as one of the 10 best podcasts, and Daniel Jeremiah got a shout out on SI's, on Sports Illustrated's annual top 100 Twitter followers.
I think
and,
they left him on from
here
last
we are.
Year.
And I got, the three young producers behind the glass just did an impression of me.
Right.
I think you win. I think you win. I think you've come out ahead.
Hey, let's say hi to everybody here on this side of the glass. Starting off with, you hear his voice. It's unmistakable.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about it. I said, you know, Drew McGarry of Deadspin was talking about, and I tip my hat to Vern Lundquist at every opportunity.
Love him.
That voice is the greatest, and, you know, it's the gravitas, and he's got a sense of humor, and obviously decades and decades of experience doing it, and it all combines to be about as good a play-by-play experience as a college football fan can have. I think legitimately, Matt Money Smith could be and should be that voice for the next 30
don't
years.
Don't do that.
Let's get you in the booth already, calling the big college football games.
Burns, don't put my name in Burns. Yes, sir. I mean, come
but
on.
But you have the voice. Burns. You don't have that. You know, it plagues our generation. I legitimately feel this, Matt Money Smith. Oh, did I say your name yet? Matt Money Smith is who it is. From of course, the Petros and Money podcast, radio show.
It's everything. It's a radio show. It's a podcast. You can stream it on
iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I've been listening to it quite a bit, and I'm going to say what I've said before. You guys are, you know, for a show that's been around as long as yours has, you guys have have achieved a new level in my book. It's a comedy show a day in and day out. Handsome, it's unfortunate you choose not to listen to it.
I have listened to it on several occasions.
Have you? A couple of times you've caught it.
No, it's
it would have been so much better if you just went, I just don't have the time.
I'm intrigued by it. I've listened to you on there, I think, as well.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I've sat in with Money on occasion. Anywho, and now you hear the Englishman's voice there. He is our resident Miami Dolphins fan all the way from London, England. I hear he's brought some vittles for our pleasure as well today.
Oh, yeah?
It's Handsome Hank. Oh,
all right, then.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. I have bought you something to eat. I bought some mince pies, a Christmas treat. It's minced fruits, and you're going to really enjoy it.
So if it's a mince pie, anything that is minced can go in the pie?
In theory, yeah.
Yeah.
You can mince whatever you want.
Or literally, in this case, it's not mince meat.
Yes, exactly.
Mince fruit. I don't know if I'm going to like it.
How does this work? Do you eat it after the show? Do you eat it during the show?
It's way more awkward for you guys.
I don't need to tell you your business, Money, but I don't know why people enjoy, at least the listeners of the DDFP, love nothing more than when we eat food. I don't know why.
You know, you mentioned our radio show that we've been doing for 10 years, and I don't know how we stumbled upon this, but most sports talk radio shows like to do the extremely attractive women picking football games, or the swimsuit edition is out and we're going to talk about how gorgeous these women are and the gambling thing. We discovered that our show, like the benchmarks, we like to eat on the air and talk about how good stuff, and it's even worse. There's no visual component to our broadcast. Right. It is all audio, and we like to drink booze. And that's what we do as a talk show, drink booze and eat food.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you
people
say that.
People enjoy it.
Vern Lundquist. Yeah, you know, that's another thing I've railed against in my day is, you know, 30 years or so ago, and you know, to this day, I assume that there's still some broadcasters, maybe Vern himself, that enjoys having a drink or four over the course of a broadcast. But of course, the greatest broadcasters of all time, the greatest play-by-play guys and color men, Harry Carey, Myron Cope, they like to have a little bell
pop, too. Little hoot and a toot.
In the UK, actually, just around this time of year, and New Year especially, snooker and darts are two of the sports that people will...
Snooker! We have a new front
snooker
runner!
That is darts. So good.
People will sit down, they'll have eaten a ton of food, and they'll sit down and watch the snooker and darts. But the snooker and darts commentary, it's all done in, like, gigantic bars, you know, somewhere. And these guys, towards the end of the day, the commentators, they're not quite sure who's playing snooker or throwing darts or what the score is, and
he just needs another triple 20. He'll close him out in his round.
Just like that, exactly.
I want to tune into some of this. Coming up on the show, who are we loving? We'll tell you who we're loving going into Week 14, football-wise and beyond. Andy Dalton might just be the young Kris Kringle. We'll investigate that. We'll give you our red challenge flag pick segment for the big games. In Week 14, join the conversation, hashtag DDFP is how you do that. And I will get to, the Heisman Trophy gets announced this weekend. I had a really grand opportunity. I don't have a vote, but everybody's weighing in on, you know, who should get it. But who better to ask than the Heisman Trophy himself? We'll show you that.
This is the second year you've got an exclusive with the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to him in just a second. What's that black tie behind the glass?
We're supposed to toss that piece right now, actually.
All right, I have a question for Matt Money Smith. Thank you, Black Tie. And in fact, this one involves you.
Okay.
Black Tie, thinks he knows everything about a few things.
Or movies. Everything. Or everything.
Well, there are certain subjects he'll back off. Okay. You know, but he thinks he knows everything about movies.
Okay.
Even though he's only seen now... He's now seen 14 total movies in his life.
Yep.
So he knows about those. And he thinks he knows about the NBA. And he tells me all the time, he told me just yesterday or a couple days ago that his opinion is more valid than mine because he's been doing this a long time.
Doing what?
I don't
know. He's been doing what?
That's what he told me. He's been doing this a long time. So
if you could take Doris Burke and Peter Travers and throw them in that fly machine and just transport them to the next place, that's what we would get. Black Tie is what emerges from that other pod.
I don't know what world he is residing in that he's been doing something NBA related for a long time.
I've been doing this for a long time, Dave.
Either way, I made this declaration. He suddenly is on the Golden State bandwagon. And
timeout. Just because you can see and appreciate greatness as it's happening does not mean you're on the bandwagon. I'm a fan of the game, been a fan of the game for a while. I've never seen the game played like this. That does not mean you're a supporter.
I understand, but Black Tie got into me because I said, well, there is a case to be made that the Cavaliers, if healthy with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and LeBron and the rest of the pieces, could conceivably beat that team in 7 games. Well, Black Tie was very upset about that. The suggestion that there's no chance. You were very upset, Black Tie.
All I'm saying is.
And then I said, and then to win him back over to curry favor with Steph Curry and Black Tie.
I like that wordplay.
I said, well, let me tell you this. I think this Warriors team is better than the 96 Bulls that won 72 games, and I think they would beat them in a 7-game series. Then Black Tie got angry with me. I can't please him, no matter which way I go. Matt Money Smith,
so narrative-driven.
You're I don't know what narrative-driven means, but anyway, why you keep saying that? But anyway, it leads me to this. Matt Money Smith, you're a Chicago guy. You know the Bulls very well, those Michael Jordan teams. You obviously are an NBA, as knowledgeable an NBA guy as there is. Who would win that 7-game series?
The matchup to watch and why I think the Bulls would win would be the Rodman-Draymond Green. That's where it would hinge. They don't have anyone. I don't think Jordan would be able to keep up with Steph just because he's so disjointed and the way he plays offense is almost impossible to guard. Again, Klay Thompson's not guarding Michael Jordan, so let's get rid of that. Pippen is going to be able to take out probably Klay Thompson on the other end of the court, but it's the Rodman-Draymond Green matchup that really gets me excited. Mm. Both feisty, do everything, especially defensively. And that's where I think I give the Bulls the advantage, is on that defensive side, the ability to switch off four guys, the ability to play four separate positions, each of them covering. And it's Draymond versus Rodman, and that's where the Bulls end up getting them.
I think Iguodala, though, has to check Jordan.
Iguodala would check Jordan, and again, as great as he is, you're not checking Jordan. Just like you're not checking Steph. Those two guys are
reasonable analysis, Black Tie. Doesn't have to get so crazy all the time.
All I'm saying is when we do that, we always match up individuals. We throw out team systems and style of play and what they do offensively and just do, this guy versus this guy. Oh, they're going to win this matchup. It's not the case, though, especially with the Warriors and the Spurs. They play a system, and it's all about systems, like matchups. It's not all about the one-on-ones.
You know what?
No one plays anyone one-on-one.
I'm gonna jump in here, Black Dye, just because you've been doing this a long time, so you can probably relate to this. There is one overriding question that needs to be answered before you can determine who is going to win this matchup. And I think it is obvious to anyone that is an expert in all things NBA and has been watching the NBA for a long time. And it's a very pivotal moment, a seminal moment in the NBA that happened between the end of the decade of the 90s and the beginning of the decade of the mid-2000s. What's that?
That was like a little bit of trivia.
So what is the question that needs to be answered before determining who's going to win this matchup?
Hand checking.
There you go. Very good. This is a guy, and that's the question. What style are we allowed to play? You know, if it's the defenses that Michael Jordan and those Bulls had to face, the Golden State Warriors have no chance. I mean, absolutely zero chance, because they will just get manhandled by the Bulls defensively. If it is that wide open style of play that we now have today, that certainly brings them a lot closer and into the conversation.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a great point. But one thing the curmudgeons are holding out on that is a weird specific thing. I don't understand the argument that Steph Curry isn't the best shooter of all time.
He's ridiculous.
Is that there's the thing? Reggie Miller was no. I watched Reggie Miller all the way through his career. He does not hold a candle to what Steph Curry can do. Pulling that trigger.
Steve Nash is the only guy, and that's obviously the guy that he emulated growing up. You know, that was his hero, was Steve Nash. That quick release. I don't care if I'm 3 feet behind the 3-point line. I'm still going to let it fly because it's an open shot, and I'm fine with that. I mean, that's the closest comparison that I
can. Well, you know what's funny? Black Tie won't remember seeing him, but you know who was my favorite shooter growing up, along with Larry Bird, was Del Curry, Steph's father. He had as sweet a flat foot stroke as you've ever seen.
I do remember seeing Del.
Do you really, Black Tie?
Del was still playing in 2003.
That recently?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was on
How about
the
that?
Raptors team.
Go Hornets.
Well, he had length that his.
You want to weigh in on this, Hank?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that you guys both left out and Black Tie as well didn't consider is, and it's a question that, you know, any of these, you know, games, who wants it more? That's something that...
Overlook something.
NBA,
who wants it more
than any other sport, the in the post game, coaches acknowledge, we got out work tonight. Well, who's that on, coach? So
right,
talent
by the way,
was there, but...
Right now, there's somebody in Chicago listening that's going, Jordan wants it more. I mean, he always wanted it more. That's why he was so good. Nobody ever wanted it more than Jordan. Always wanted it the mostest.
Except Kobe. That's now become a virtue, too, because he's an assassin. He'll tear your, he'll tear your throat out.
Mercenary.
He's terrific this year. All right.
All right.
We've gotten sidetracked with pro basketball. Let's talk college football now with the Heisman Trophy to see where he thinks he's going to be living this next calendar year. Boy, that voice really sounded familiar.
Yeah, I did. I feel like I've talked to him before.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, well, I guess I did talk to him.
I was hoping for some clarity there, too. I feel very strongly about this year's Heisman race.
It's just about where he doesn't want to be. Yes. It's not really about where he – I mean, L.A. would be nice, but I'm sorry. There's not a legitimate candidate this year. Sorry.
Northern California, not bad, though. Very nice this time of year, Palo Alto.
Who are you going with?
No-brainer for me, Christian McCaffrey.
It's
not even close. This whole Derrick Henry junk, you know, these folks in the South that preach SEC football, no. And it's unfortunate for Christian. You know, I called two of those games. Both of them started at 7 p.m. local time. I mean, those are 10 p.m. kickoffs for probably three-quarters of the Heisman voters. Yeah. And they're not seeing what he's been able to do. It really has been remarkable.
Well, it's time for who are you loving
Christian
here.
McCaffrey. That's who I'm loving.
All day. Well, and, you know, I'm going to be fascinated to see if America loves watching college football, big-time college football games on New Year's Eve. I think that's going to win. The more I think about it, I thought a lot of poor schnooks are going to get dragged off to parties. But in fact, this is going to be the collective experience. Everybody's going to sit around and watch college football right
wherever
up until the stroke of midnight, right? Like there'll be seven. That second game will end, and there'll be about 7 minutes till midnight on the East Coast.
No small talk over your 7-7. You know, it's just eyes glued to the TV, and just leave me alone. You go have your fun with your fancy new friends. I'm watching the idiot box here.
Matt Money Smith, you're our special guest today, so lay it on us. Who are you loving going into Week 14?
I am loving the Cardinals' next man up philosophy that was installed the moment the Bruce Arians arrived in the desert. We have seen countless injuries to every position on this team, and it just doesn't matter. And most coaches will play the game of, you can't lose your job to injury. Bruce Arians, who is one of the best sound bites anywhere in interviews, is just matter of fact about it. Well, of course you can lose your job to injury. You get hurt and the guy that comes in outperforms what you were doing. In what world does it make any sense for me to put you back in there? And that's why you see David Johnson or Stephon Taylor or Andre Ellington or Chris Johnson. Just take your J.J. Nelson in for John Brown. It doesn't matter with the Cardinals. I mean, that is what they are expected to do. That's the culture he created. And it really is why I find this Cardinals, this era of Arizona Cardinals under Arians, it's probably my favorite team to watch in the NFL on both sides of the ball. That secondary with Tyrann Mathieu. The offense, obviously, with the plethora of weapons, it's as good a watch as there is in the NFL right now.
The one thing, though, we did find out last year was the position that matters at is quarterback.
Yeah, it turns out. Next man up does not apply to quarterback,
when the next man up is
absolutely right.
Then you're in trouble.
But, you know, it's funny because I said something similar to that. The Cardinals, a week ago, I sort of acknowledged that, they are, if you're looking for a team to root for come January, they're the one. Because Arians is a delight. I mean, player by player, guy by guy,
Carson
Calais
Palmer,
Campbell.
Fitz, Calais.
Such exactly. nice. All they're all guys. Fun and funny
Tyrann
guys.
The Tyrann Mathieu story is as good as it gets. Patrick Peterson bringing him in. You know, you just got drafted. Yeah. You're going to live with me for 6 months. Move in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure you're good.
Style of play, too. Yeah. I mean, they just, you know, Carson's always pushing it. That's what I said also. I don't know that you could conjure a more compelling Super Bowl or more fun Super Bowl for a casual fan than Cardinals and Steelers. Yeah. So that just bomb versus bomb back and forth for 3.5 hours.
A potential good NFL, too, by the way. The whole Arians, you know, if the Steelers don't lose that game and Arians isn't fired, then this whole thing never starts. He just stays.
That's right.
He stays on that staff. He stays as their offensive coordinator. And, you know, we don't have these Cardinals. We didn't have that great story in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck. I mean, it's... Yeah. One stinking play, and
great
here we
call.
Are.
And you know what's funny, too? And Handsome and I were talking about this yesterday. Everybody seems to understand that this is Brock Osweiler's Broncos team going forward, except for some of the biggest voices in football America. Continue to sort of tisk, tisk, and harumph at the notion that, you think that Peyton Manning's not getting his job back? You're crazy.
And not just that Peyton Manning's going to come back and he's going to get on some tear that's going to take the Broncos.
He just needed some rest. That's all. He just needed 4 weeks of rest.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe he'll come back next week in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
You hope so.
Yeah, if you give me as a Steelers fan a choice, I will take give me Peyton in December going into Heinz Field. Handsome, who are you loving?
I'll tell you what I'm loving, Dave. Right now, there are three reasons to watch the Miami Dolphins. Jarvis Landry's playing great football. He's fun to watch. Devontae Parker was their first round pick this year. They finally got him back on the field. Rashad Jones is sneaky, having a great season at safety.
There's your three.
This week, they've added a fourth thing. The Dolphins are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. And, you know, it's about on par with all the, well, at least the last 20 years of Dolphins football, and that they've been a huge disappointment. But on Monday night, they play the New York Giants, and they're coming out in some beautiful uniforms. MVP is teeing me up in a second with a picture of what the Dolphins are going to be wearing tonight, and I think you are going to love
it. I've seen them.
You are
going to
be loving it.
I'm going to swoon again in a moment when I see them. I'll see them again on Monday night. I'll swoon then. And, you know, look at those things. I hope you're watching this on YouTube. Beautiful? If you're not, go to YouTube and find us
on the NFL channel. Or Aqua.
The Aqua.
Do we say Aqua? You don't say teal? Is teal too much of an insult?
No, that's 280s. No.
That's
Aqua and orange.
Look at that.
It's just going to be, that's going to be stunning. Against the Giants.
Greasy, Bonacani, Zonka, and the rest, Mercury Morris.
I'm happy the Dolphins' head is protected once again.
Yeah, that's what's most important. Yeah. You know, I was listening the other day, and I couldn't help myself. I started texting Money while he was doing a radio
segment.
With a
great one that we missed.
They were talking about logos and the worst logos in pro sports.
Just Kobe's stupid hero-villain logo. Just stupid, stupid, stupid.
There are many.
That was the genesis.
Yeah. We were talking about, you missed out on the Gorton's Fisherman era of the New York Islanders. That was a terrible logo.
Blatant oversight.
It's also, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again now, the Cleveland Browns logo.
This is the best one.
The Cleveland Browns logo is an orange hat.
Yep.
That's it. This is our logo. It's an orange helmet.
Yeah, very
What do you think?
Well, you know that they're named after Paul. I don't care. Then make the helmet brown. That's what you have to do.
Or the logo is his face. There you go. Not an orange helmet.
An old man.
Like, why
an angry old man.
Yeah.
That's their secondary logo, is some little pixie elf thing. It's like, that's not what Paul Brown looked like.
No, that's odd. Yeah, that is also very weird.
I don't know if...
Is that supposed to represent Paul Brown?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's Art Modell's first move. Create a little demon character.
Yeah.
Remind us of the ghost of Paul Brown. All right, what am I loving?
What?
I hate math. You know, I've made that clear. I don't...
Really?
You know, after addition, subtraction, I get multiplication tables, the need for young kids to learn those things. My oldest is learning her multiplication tables and long division right now. And I get the need for long division, maybe. But after that...
You're not doing algebra. Everything. You're not doing trig.
I don't...
cosine, calculus.
Any more than I didn't... Nobody assigned me... You know, there were certain novels that were standards that I had to read in high school, but it's not as though I had to do a really deep dive on the obscure works of some of our greatest writers of mankind. And in this, yet, math is held to a much lower standard. We all have to know algebra. Shame the devil if you don't do a little trigonometry before you...
I will not sit here and watch you shame math.
I don't like it.
It's won't allow you to do it.
You're not a math guy.
Absolutely. The world is math. You're math. You are constructed
math.
This entire world in which we live, the universe, is all math. Don't you realize we're not even alive right now? We're just a computer simulation sitting here. Somebody is pushing the button and making us do all of this because we're all math.
That doesn't make you more resentful of it then?
Yeah. No, it makes me proud of my programmer for making me what I am.
Now that's narcissistic. So you think somebody designed to make you a more a better voiced program than Damashek.
No,
and now I don't like that.
My programmer decided to have me to choose to smoke Benson and Hedges 100s when I was 14. It stunted my growth. My brothers are all 6'3 and above, but I got this beautiful voice because that was the choice I made.
The only reason I despise math, you know why I don't like it, talk about narcissism, I think it is the fact that I like to BS a lot of stuff. Like, I could BS the blue book answer.
Math doesn't let you do that.
Yeah. I could do, math, there's no way.
There's a right
you can't ask down. Why. Like, you know, well, why is that the only answer? I like to, you know, look at things from that perspective, but math, there's only an answer. There's only one answer. Well, why is that true? Because 2 + 3 = 5, Dave. That's it. Can we move on with class? No, I want to understand what you mean by, you know, that didn't work out. However, the one thing that allowed me to survive math was the NFL playoff picture in December every year as it starts to boil down and all those tiebreakers and you have to get involved and you have to start doing the math. I know people don't like them. I love the tiebreaker. Trying to get
this
into that formula. Right. the only thing that taught me math. Without that, I really
wouldn't
have
gotten out.
You
get your abacus out, and you're ready to go, right? Your Texas Instruments scientific calculator, your graphing calculator, you're ready to roll.
That's right. Well, you know, there you look at that. See, look at
I. Oh, I love it.
It's heaven. I know people hate this. I find it to be heavenly.
It's a list without a number one on.
All your tiebreakers head to head. If it's not applicable, then it becomes the best win-loss percentage played within the conference. That's not right. Wait, it goes head to head, then division record.
Right.
But if this is for a wild card tiebreaker, then it's best win percentage within the conference.
Of course.
Then it's the common game thing. Then it starts getting fun. The strength of the victory, the strength of the schedule, combined ranking among conference teams and points scored and points allowed. There have been a couple of years there where it has boiled down to that for my Steelers, and you're rooting for this and that.
One day.
Like points.
One day we'll get to 11.
We'll get to the coin toss.
One day we'll get to 11.
Great. You missed the playoffs. My dream would be that it's the Steelers and the Browns. Hat with the coin flip,
and
the Steelers
lose,
get
that. And the Browns go ahead.
The Browns chunk.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, real quick, the most fun part about this is number 9, about the most net points, because obviously there's this culture of, like, don't run up the score in football. In soccer, you always run up the score because goal difference is such a huge factor. Well, people should be allowed to run up the score.
That's a good point. You know what? Coaches should say that. Why are you asking me that? Because what if it comes down to the tiebreaker at number 9?
Exactly.
That's why.
Real Madrid has put up 8 goals in
that. And that would be the best. Just don't even acknowledge what it is. Why did we run up the score? I mean, tiebreaker number nine. What's wrong with that?
Check number 9.
Next question. Let's go. What else we got? Let's go.
Well, real quick, before we move on to very important stuff in our game picks, I do want to point out this. I just came this morning from Jean-Claude Van Damischek's holiday performance at the school, 4 first grade classes combined. So there were, I don't know, 60 or 70 parents in the auditorium to watch this. And here's the latest. You're up to speed now on everybody brings their cell phone and shoots it on video. Now, that's fine. Send it to the grandparents or if a parent is at work or whatever. But here's the new scourge. Take a look at this now. This is the first time I had to encounter it. There it is. Look at this. It's the iPad. Look at that woman holding her iPad obnoxiously.
The case hanging below it.
You can't see. You got to go on YouTube and check this out. The woman holds the thing up over her head like Cusack in Say Anything so that no one behind her can see. And then the case that it's in drops down below it so you can't even see in the space between her head and the iPad over it. So you basically, if you're seated behind her, you get to watch the kids on her iPad. This is your only chance to see them.
That's about I'm going to say, using my math skills, eyeballing it, you're probably looking at like a 24 by 11, I mean, blocking you. That's the size of a John 3:16 sign at an NFL game. You want that person holding that thing up the whole time?
Where are we going? No. Where I mean, these are the moments.
I appreciate
moments.
That. Good acknowledgement.
Yeah. These are the moments when we have to ask ourselves, what kind of society do we want to be?
You know what's coming next? Apple's designed a larger iPad.
There was
what do you think people are going to be doing with that next Christmas?
When they design a 55-inch screen that is as light as a current iPad, you know you're going to be sitting behind
that. There as well.
There was also a woman right next to me. Oh, yeah, let's see that one, too. There's a woman seated right next to me who was doing it on her cell phone, was shooting video. Then she breaks out this thing.
Oh, yeah, the old SLR.
Like, how far away is she?
Running espionage. I don't know. She's looking for Jason Bourne in Berlin. I don't know what she's doing with that thing.
It's Linda Fiorentino in Gotcha.
I mean, what do you need that for? You're 11 feet away from the stage, lady. What
See,
gives?
You use this as an opportunity to share your issues with the scourge on society that is the iPad. I think of it as a potential money-making venture. Why not create some sort of extension that's just the size of a pen that has that little lens?
Ooh.
So you can have your iPad in your lap and you can shoot with that little extension, right? Let's get to work on this, guys.
You're as savvy as Billy Blaze Jowski. You know, edible paper. Yeah, let the scientists figure out the actual science of it.
Now, wait a minute. He did have mayo and tuna in a can, remember? And is that not a successful venture by the Bumblebee or Chicken of the Sea Company?
Black Tie, Night Shift, Henry Winkler, Michael Keaton. You've seen that one, right?
I have not, no. I've never heard of it. Talking
it's
about
a dandy. It's Ron Howard's first feature, I believe.
Yes, it was.
All right, so there you have it. My outrage. We have football baby all set there? All right, here he is. I interrupted his dinner, in fact, to get his week 14 picks. Take a look.
Football baby. The baby who picks football games.
Hey, you know what? That football baby is 61
and
24 now lifetime.
That's think like one it. Of those Saturday morning that. Shows. I'm 192 and 12 this season. That's a remarkable win percentage.
And again, the cynics are out there, but look at the games he's picking. He's not picking the Duds. He picks the toughest games. Yeah. And he's 61 and 24 lifetime.
A big huzzah to you and the lady for, you know, that was broccoli and cauliflower on there, you know, a little fruit over here. Yeah. It wasn't goldfish and mac and cheese. No,
you know
that football baby's
was?
Eating
his
right.
His dessert was honeydew.
See?
Where are you coming down, Matt Money Smith?
Honeydew?
No, on Fruit of the Year. The Shecky Awards are going to be announced by month's end here.
Boy, you know, people want to get cute with this. For me, it's rather simple. It's the blueberry.
Blueberry.
Yeah, it's the blueberry. It's the antioxidant power of the blueberry. If you get a nice, ripe, juicy blueberry, I think that single bite is as good a chew on fruit as you're going to find. And you can put it on anything. You know, it really goes with anything. I like to put it in my oatmeal in the morning.
Yep.
You talk about desserts. You can have it at night as a dessert. Those nice plump ones, you know, very sweet, set you off in the right direction. And the healing powers of the blueberry, very hard to top.
There's not a lot of blueberry candy, which is strange. I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
And yet, I've pointed this out before. When at the big candy factory, there was a seminal day, I don't know, 60, 80, 100 years ago, where somebody recognized, wow, a lot of our candy, our fruit flavors, are red fruits. So someone's got to bite the bullet. We have strawberry, watermelon, cherry, raspberry. Somebody's got to bite the bullet here and go in a different direction. And somehow raspberry drew the short straw and became blue raspberry.
Right.
It's very weird. And yet it was a universal
decision.
No big deal. Everyone bought in on it straight away.
Whatever candy factory made that determination, word spread quickly, apparently, and everybody. I mean, if you
blue
get a
raspberry.
Slush puppy, it's got to be a blue one.
Tremendous, Sheck. That's very why you make
weird.
The big bucks.
Correct. All right. Hey, we were talking very important stuff already, so let's continue to talk about it.
Okay.
I was talking to my pals Bauman and Crawford in Pittsburgh, PA on WDVE. You can listen every Friday morning to that when we kibitz about football and otherwise. And we got to talking about, I was telling them about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and how outraged I am about the treatment that Donner, Rudolph's father, and Santa give to poor little Rudolph. Sure. Then when they need him, okay, Rudolph, we need that light. Hey, Santa, screw. I'm not, you know what? You berated me when I was a baby. Look at this, though. I think this is kind of neat for Bengals fans. I don't know if this is good news or not, but look at that. It's the red rifle.
Ooh.
The young Santa from Santa Claus is Coming to Town is, in fact, the red rifle.
You do look a lot
Andy,
alike.
Look at that. So good luck. I don't know, is that good news? Or bad news if you're a Bengals fan.
Well, this time of year, that might explain why he's so bad in January, because he must be exhausted after all the work he has to do through that.
I was thinking they say Andy needs a little more salt in his personality. And that young Santa, like you said, salty, not happy with the elves singing, not happy with Rudolph, not happy with Donner for trying to pull the ruse of putting that black cap on Rudolph's nose. So maybe that's perfect for
him. What kind of dad puts dirt? That's what I mean. He puts the cap, but first he puts dirt on his own baby reindeer's nose. Kind of father.
Bad guy.
Let's call Child Services and, we won't do that right now. What do you think, Black Tie? Is it time to pay a bet?
Oh, no.
Is it a reckoning?
No, let's save that to the end of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
don't
true.
Yell
still,
at me about
you
it.
Still want
not
me to participate.
It's a requirement.
Yeah.
You're a man of
honor.
You're
a man of my word.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. The time is here. You saw Football Babies picks. Now it's our turn. The Red Challenge Flag picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
You know, we could really use a baritone in
there
with that. Well, you know what, MVP? I'd like to hear you do this as
yourself,
part of your farewell. Go ahead. Just do a soulful rendition.
Are we doing acapella?
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
That was the word.
That was my fault. Yeah. I asked. I didn't know if it was acapella or what was going on.
Ready? Let's do it again. Let's do it. Let's all do it together. Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Red Challenge Flag Picks!
Held
that. Yeah. Like, I think it needs a yeah.
That's
a,
yeah.
A punch a little
bit.
All right, so
quartet
let's...
action going, you know? We get one more body in here.
I know, MVP. Black Tie won't allow you in Studio 66 for some reason.
Fabricating lies. Not at all. MVP likes hanging out here. She's got work to do.
Right.
Busy. It's got to be one of us working.
Well, Handsome and Matt Money Smith like MVP as much as I do, and they think that
give
it's
us some
a
shine.
Sad
should
thing. We should at least exit interview.
Absolutely.
Right. Do you have a question, Handsome Hank, you'd like to ask?
Sure. of your well, you've probably done some work with Michael Fabiano from the fantasy show. What's the most inappropriate thing Fabs has asked you since
that's an interesting
since you've
question.
Believe it or not, I have not interacted with him.
Oh, really? Well, you should make sure in the final 24 hours that you spend some time with Fabs.
Sounds good, yeah. Yeah. I'd really love to do that.
That's an intriguing question. Yeah, that's good. Off of that, I have an equally...
Tickled money.
What do you think should be fruit of the year?
I have to agree with money, blueberries.
Oh, there we go. I like
that's
that.
An
more.
Edgier question.
I love blueberries. I brought in that blueberry crisp, remember, Shaq? You got snubbed at the pie off?
Yeah, right. Dave didn't taste that.
Barely. That's false. You know what? Let's sprinkle in exit interview questions as we go along.
I've got one. Of all the attributes that Dave Damashek likes to celebrate about himself, which one is the most ridiculous?
This is fun. Oof.
Maybe a uniform monitor.
Okay, look at that. You are no uniform. Wow, that's you want to talk about
that,
punching
that
him
actually,
in the gut.
That really
hurts.
That's the one you like least.
That's the best answer ever.
I say, you know?
The least, though, is what you like. That's the wrong answer.
The answer to that question is
there is no right answer.
That is so the right answer.
That is a good one.
Talk about kicking him in the shin on our way out.
That's the one that he really prides himself on. Forget about his doctorate in mustard. Yep. That's the one.
Let's see you perform under adverse conditions now there, Damashek.
Do the picks, whatever. Pick whoever you want. See if I give a care. Listen, all right, I'm going to overcome.
There you go, let's overcome.
Let's start with the big game. In the AFC North here, the rules are simple in case you're a newcomer to the Red Challenge Flag segment. One person is going to say the team that they want without explanation. If the other person thinks the other team's going to win, they can throw the Red Challenge Flag and explain their reasons why. Matt Money Smith, Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals, choose.
Trying to do what Football Baby does.
Oh, you know, I see.
Conjure his powers. Pittsburgh.
Oh, handsome Hank.
Okay, well, in that case, let's get this.
All right!
I'm throwing a flag on that one.
Heat!
I think, as well as the Steelers have been playing, I just have a feeling this is the kind of game that the Steelers lose at the end of a season when they need to get on a streak so that it's even more exciting through the last 3 weeks. Mm. It just seems like the Steelers at this time of year will get in position to, like, you're about to make the playoffs, but then they have to lose one game to make it more exciting through the next 3 weeks when they're going to have to beat the Broncos and then, and then keep rolling all the way through that final 3 weeks to make the AFC wildcard spot.
I'll tell you this, 4,000 miles away, but talking to people with boots on the ground there, and then you hear the quotes from the players and Tomlin himself, there's something oddly cavalier about the way they're talking, as though that about the high octane offense and all that. Yeah, but you guys know that you're not even in the playoffs now.
Right now, if the season finished, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
I agree. It would be very sad if this team didn't make the postseason as an objective football fan because of what that offense is capable of doing. And in this matchup, as usual, if Roethlisberger's on the money and the receivers are holding onto the football, they're going to be hard to stop. I mean, offensively, of course. And it's whether or not if Roethlisberger's as on the money as he was on Sunday night, there isn't a defense out there that can stop him. And, of course, it continues to be an issue, the Steelers' back end there. And obviously, the Bengals have been putting up a ton of points. I would say that I know that this doesn't exactly work to do this, but, you saw this Steelers team play very well up in Seattle 2 weeks ago, and nevertheless they lost that game. Wouldn't you say the Seahawks and Bengals are about comparable?
Yeah.
So, I certainly can say the Bengals. Against my better judgment, I'll go Steelers. Matt Money Smith, what do you think?
Just let me know the next time the Bengals win a big game that's going to be watched by the eyes of the nation. For whatever reason, I don't like playing that particular game. It always depends on opponent and who's healthy. But for whatever reason, we just are still waiting for Andy Dalton to, perform when the lights are the brightest. And that is a legitimate concern, especially at the quarterback position. For whatever reason, if your heart rate gets a little too high and you let the moment get to you, quarterback is a position that can be affected by the stakes being higher. And I just want to see Andy Dalton do it once.
Maybe this is the game. All the time. You are delusional. You can listen to the talking heads and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Andy Dalton's having a great 2015. Yes, he's a human being. And not unlike more talented human beings like Peyton Manning and Clayton Kershaw, until you do it, that question is going to be banging around in your head. Same thing as Tony Romo. The idea that Tony Romo doesn't care about what the media says. Oh, he doesn't? You don't think that they absorb that? Clearly, as J.J. Watt showed the world 3 weeks ago, you can get inside Andy's head there, and we'll see if Pittsburgh can do it. This is a favorable matchup, though, because just like nobody's doing this as much with the 2015 Bengals as they were with the 2014 Cowboys, but that offensive line is the best in the NFL, and they're going to keep Dalton clean against the Steelers' shaky defense. You know, they have been getting to the QB, and that makes a world of difference. You saw that against Indianapolis on Sunday night. I don't think they're going to have as much success getting to Dalton on this day, so I absolutely can see the game going either way, but you know what? This is a homer pick. It's as simple as that. Against my better judgment, I'm taking Pittsburgh. You have another question you want to ask now?
No.
The MVP?
Not right now, no.
Okay. And if exit interview questions come up.
Sure.
I actually have one. MVP. I do have one. What's been the most troubling or trying thing about working with Black Tie?
Oh, that's a good question, too.
I don't know. He's pretty easy to work with.
What?
Yeah. Do you find you have to pick up a lot of the things?
You know you don't have to work with him tomorrow, so you can say whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want. Like a week ago, I get it. You would have answered differently, but now it's time for honesty. Remember Dave's rule. It's one of
the rules. Jive. I wish I had something to say, but he's been
okay.
A great.
Let me then step in and try to get an answer.
Go ahead.
I don't know Emma VP's background, but she seems like she's a rather intelligent girl. I don't know if she's an Ivy Leaguer or what, but I'm going to guess
Syracuse University.
Okay, Syracuse. Very it's a private university. I would say probably top 50 U.S. News, World, and Report, so certainly a bright young lady. Who's the dumbest employee of the Dave Danishek football program?
That's a good question.
Dumbest. Just least, if you want me to euphemize it, least intelligent, whatever, but just. It's okay. Some people are better looking, some more athletic. Who's the dumbest person involved with the show?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes, you can.
I can.
You must.
No jive, I can.
Everybody's the same.
Okay.
Everyone's the same. Everyone's intelligent.
That's not true. That's fine. Okay, who's the least intelligent?
Say what you said about Will behind the glass. say what you said. Oh, is that embarrassing? Okay. I'll move on. One more question for you.
I'm just saying, we've got like a Die Hard with a Vengeance type riddle that needs to be solved. Okay? And there's one person on this crew that you have to leave behind.
Yeah,
which person?
We
have to save New York City. Which person are you leaving behind?
I got to have the whole crew, you guys. Can't let them down. Yeah.
All right.
Elimination Chamber. We haven't heard that one in a while. Black Tie promises he's going to do one 2015 Elimination Chamber. It's the dumbest thing. I don't think you've ever been in your money for an
It's the dumbest thing you do.
It has no rules.
There's nothing.
Black Tie just decided to spring it on us one day.
He names five things.
He names four things and then you have to eliminate one, but it's not clear if you're eliminating the best or worst. It's just a list of things and you have to eliminate one. But are you choosing that as the best one?
And it's got a fancy soundbite. Elimination Chamber.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Elimination Chamber.
Yes, that's all the further he got.
That is it. That's the whole bit.
All right, let's get to this
one. It's a chamber of eliminating things.
Bills, Eagles, handsome, choose.
Eagles.
Oh, really? Come on. Let me tell you something.
Shady,
I want to hear it.
Shady McCoy is going to get 900 carries in this game. All right? There is nobody that is better with grudges than Rex Ryan. The fact that Shady, Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor, all of his offensive weapons are healthy. And when they are, that is a nasty offense.
Tyrod Taylor is in there, they're 6-2.
Yeah.
I know, and they're a great team. Here's the other part of that story. When Rex gets that team overhyped, which you can see already happening for this game with him, you know, like that Shady talk, most teams would have shut this down by now. Behind closed doors, Rex is like,
he's pouring gasoline on it.
Oh, I do agree that every game is the biggest game ever for Rex Ryan, and that's got to wear out.
Rex does that, and he does it with, you know, in these type of games, especially at this time of year when a team needs to get in the playoffs. He does it whenever they play the Patriots, when he was with the Jets, and now with the Bills. He gets the team overhyped. They're due a letdown.
Do you think they're comparable teams?
No.
You think the Eagles are substantially better?
No, I think the Bills are a better team.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying it would be a letdown.
So, going back to your NBA, who wants it more? this time of year, which players are more likely to get behind their coach and rally or another player?
That's my legitimate, right. My legitimate thought on this one is, I think the Bills get this one. The Shady McCoy saying Chip can't shake S on one side of things. You know, Shady McCoy is a popular guy and surely has many friends in the Eagles locker room who are now going through the trials and travails of Chip Kelly. Now, maybe beating the Patriots in Foxborough has turned them around a little bit, but I don't think it'll be much to swing them back against Chip. Yeah. I mean, I don't buy that the Eagles players love Chip Kelly. And Shady being around there, that, isn't it a little bit like looking across? I wish I was with you, Shady. Seems like more fun over there. I could see, I legitimately could see some quit out of the Eagles.
Do you think
in this
he's called DeMarco Murray and said, told you so?
I don't know.
You big dummy.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Yep.
And as a side note, the ridiculousness of the attention that what's his name got for, Herm Edwards got. For threatening to walk off because he doesn't want to discuss it because that's not football, which Shady McCoy said. I don't understand why it gets such heat, why it's worth discussing. I think it's dynamite is the bottom line. So I thought it was marvelous stuff. As I always say, we could use a little pro wrestling in the NFL.
It works. Sports more what fun. People want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that's why the Lakers are fun, too, as a side note, too.
Well, because they're just a disaster.
Are we doing a literal matchup here, Black Tie? All right. Hey, guess what, everybody?
What do we got?
We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Famous Jameis playing well against the New Orleans Saints. Compelling stuff in football terms. But what if an actual Buccaneer, a.k.a. a pirate, got into a fight with an actual Saint? We have the answer for you with our latest literal matchup.
Let's get ready to match up with matchup.
In one corner, bearing a sizable cutlass, a flintlock pistol, and an rated vocabulary, it's a Buccaneer! In the other corner, with the power of the heavens, a passive nature, and the singing voice of that lady from Frozen, it's a Saint! The Saint offers the peace sign, but the Buck gives him the business end of the sharpened sword. Ahoy, Sainty! Sorry, Scallywag, the rum's not making you hallucinate. Your opponent is literally out of your reach. This pirate's not sunk yet, though. He fires the pistol into and through the Saint to no avail. The Saint's dropping the hammer. You can't touch this, Bucko. What's this now? The Buccaneer is shaving his beard and pouring his rum out? Why, I think he is. He's walking the straight and narrow. If you can't beat him, join him. Technical knockout for the Saint.
I think, you know, how would a Saint ever lose, you know? Right.
Except so it's an already having been a martyr Saint. It's the spirit of the
can
Saint.
Can you be an alive Saint? Can you be a living Saint? I don't know. I don't know. New Testament the way you do, Matt Money Smith. I listen to the show. I hear you and Petros go through your Bible verses all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got, you know, that one Saint and the other one, too. So between those,
But a Saint, I mean, you know, if we ever do have the Battle Royale of all the NFL mascots, well, the Saint is, I mean, he's a ghost. How could you beat a ghost?
The Jet might have a good an easy matchup with the Saint, because what's a Saint going to do with a Jet?
Well, that's the point.
You know, there's no turning a Jet.
Well, I guess if we suggest that the Saint is like an apparition, then, you know, a lot. I mean, it can just appear wherever it wants to,
Freak out
the pilot and the Jets, you know, dust.
As acknowledged in the play-by-play there, the Saint has a passive nature. So he's never going to do anything
bad.
Yeah, you basically, his goodness has to turn, and you saw that Buccaneer went on the straight and narrow, straight off the plank. All right, let's move on now. The Oakland Raiders, the Denver Broncos. Matt Money Smith, choose.
Denver.
Yeah, I like the Broncos in this one as well. The Broncos. I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah. And the Broncos were a little underwhelming. The defense, once again, terrific. Yep. And that's the headline from that team, no matter who's under center on the other side of things. Yeah, I guess you got to go Broncos here.
Oh, I see what you did there. Broncos.
That's what I did. Handsome doesn't like when I say the Broncos.
Broncos.
What about that, Matt Money Smith? Choose on that one. Is that cheesy or no?
It's cheesy.
The Broncos. Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the puns. You know, let's get punny.
I'm not punny either, but Broncos is right there for me. I have to take advantage of it.
Okay.
Matt Money Smith, what do you think? Because this team could wind up as, I mean, you know, they have the big Week 16 game against the Bengals. They could be your number one seed.
Defense is great.
They also, Handsome and I were looking it up, and by the way, your playoff predictor at NFL.com, where you get to enter in what you think wins and losses the rest of the way home and tells you what where that team would wind up seeded there. We were playing around with it a little bit yesterday. It's not inconceivable that the Broncos will lose two games. They play Pittsburgh and they play Cincinnati. Those are two potential losses. If the Raiders would knock them off this week and the Chiefs run the table, they could find themselves as the 5 or 6 seed. And I find that absolutely plausible that that could happen, especially if they try to jam Peyton back in there to see what he's got. Week 17 against the Chargers, I don't think that's a gimme. Chargers playing for nothing. Peyton seeing if he's got something and finding out he doesn't, that could lead to a loss there. So
that's why you keep rocking there.
I mean, I think it's ludicrous, the conversation, but people continue to perpetuate it. So we all got the Broncos.
Yep.
Next up, Patriots, Texans, Handsome Hank, choose.
Patriots.
Yep.
Patriots, everybody's going there?
Yep.
I'm going to go the Patriots, too, narrowly. 21-17 is my final score there.
It'll be close.
They're going to have a hard time, once again, handling that DeAndre defense. Hopkins, but I think, they are going to have a hard time. With that Houston defense. Beware, man. Kevin Johnson is for real.
He's great. I mean,
you know, Marcus Peters is going to be the Defensive Rookie of the Year. But if you've been paying attention the last 6 weeks or so, Kevin Johnson's really coming on for the Texans. In that secondary, they're good at all three levels. They could really I can see the Patriots struggling once again. We continue to look at the uniforms and Tom Brady. But yes.
That'll be the difference.
I think they'll survive there. And lastly, Handsome Hank, here's your Miami Dolphins. They host the New York Giants. I don't think there's a path for the Dolphins to get to the postseason, but certainly in that bum division, the Giants can still get there. Matt Money Smith, choose.
I'll go Giants, you know.
Inspired by their uniforms, the Dolphins will win this one.
Do you believe that in your heart? Throw the flag, please. Thank you. Don't get lazy on me, Handsome.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to go. I don't even know who I took in this one made my picks earlier. Oh, I took the Giants.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You don't really believe that.
What am I to believe? They're both terrible teams. they're both disappointing teams.
You know what? The best part of this game, apart from the uniforms, might be that Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry have threatened to have some kind of a one-handed catch showdown in the pregame.
Ooh,
might actually be the only
ooh, get out there
programming
early.
Programming note: Guess who I'm going to be catching up with next week. Odell Beckham.
Really?
That's right. I'm going to New York for one day, and I'm going to get to kibitz with
Odell
Beckham. Eat that, black tie. What do you think of that? Your best friend, Odell Beckham, and Damashek.
Let's ask Emma more questions.
Yeah, let's. But quickly, let me tell you my picks here for the week. Thursday night, if you're listening after, you can laugh at me if I'm wrong. I'll take the Cardinals at home. Hawks over Baltimore, Browns over the Niners. Although, you know what? I really should change that one. I like Gabbert. And shout out to Maurice Jones-Drew. He has touted Blaine Gabbert consistently well before he ever took the field in 2015. Rams at home over the Lions. Coin flip. Detroit's been playing well. Jets over Tennessee and Jersey. I'll take the Colts over the Jags in Jacksonville. The Chiefs at home against the Chargers. The Bears at home against D.C., the Panthers at home against the Falcons, and I will take the Buccaneers to defeat the Saints. No upset will surprise me, though, including those NFC South games. Panthers, teams don't go undefeated. At some point, they have to lose, don't they?
It's true.
Even to the bum Falcons.
Playoffs, Cardinals.
Emma, how long have you been here for?
I've been here since April.
What is which one of Dave's bits have you heard the most times since you got here?
Oof.
You know, they're recurring ones.
Yeah. Ooh, fly by my little pain.
There's quite a few.
There's a lot of them.
Based on the previous.
Which one have you heard most frequently?
Which is the most delightful?
And has he passed off as original each
time? Has any of them gotten tired as many times as you heard them? But isn't it sort of like.
No, she just said yes.
Yes.
She just said yes.
But wait, I didn't finish.
She answered the question.
Isn't it sort of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? You watch it every year. Doesn't it become more delightful?
Yeah, but if it was once a year, it would be fine. But yours are like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
Carry on. Which one do you.
Of late, stuffing. That's been my favorite.
That's not a bit. That's a cause that I'm trying to make the world better. Forgive me for saying that we should eat stuffing year round.
It's both. It's a bit.
It's not a bit. There's nothing funny about it. I want stuffing all
the time. I got one for you, MVP. Should an adult, does it make sense for an adult to slather the most disgusting condiment ever invented, ketchup, upon a fine encased meat like a hot dog?
I think that one's pretty obvious.
I think it's okay. you know?
I didn't like, ask you if know it what was black okay. I asked you
sure.
if it was okay.
It's okay.
I'm going to ask you again, and I'm going to look you right in the, and I'm going to look right into the camera when I say it. Are you sure it's okay? Are you sure it's okay for an adult to put a child's condiment on an encased meat?
It's okay.
Child's condiment. You know where that was, where that ketchup was forged? The same place
That's
the
right.
steel was forged.
That's right.
The steel that was used to defeat Mussolini and Hitler back in the mid-20th century. Now, that's my oldest, most tired bit.
That's a bit.
Forged in Pittsburgh, PA. And if you don't like Pittsburgh, you don't like freedom. Go talk to Mussolini about it.
Damn
you don't
straight.
Like ketchup. Matt.
Well, let's get it. Let's make him pay then.
One more question. Who do you like better, Maurice Jones-Drew or Ike Taylor?
Ooh.
I can't pick that.
Yes, you can.
You have to.
Yes, you can.
I love both of them.
What's that?
I love both of them.
You don't.
But if you had to go on a long car journey with one of them, which one would you choose?
Maybe Ike, because I'm a Steelers fan.
All right. Listen,
talk about the team.
You found a technical victory there for yourself.
Thank you.
Who do you like better, Dan Hanzus or Handsome Hank?
Handsome Hank.
Oh, wrong.
Bam.
He's on the DDP.
Bam.
Part of the show.
Who's the most annoying around the NFL podcast participant?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes, you can.
You can.
Listen, Emma. Listen.
Before
you step out of these rough waters, understand, let me bestow upon you this bit of broadcasting advice. Nobody wants to listen to somebody that doesn't take a stand. You've got to plant your flag, pick a side, because that's how you make it in this business. Don't worry about offending any of those folks.
Young people would pay thousands of dollars for that level of tutorial
right.
from the accomplished
Matt
Money Smith.
Always have to pick.
You're right, and that's why I don't want to be in broadcasting.
Free. All right, you See? Know what? Good riddance to bad rubbish, Emma VP.
Oh, this is
terrible. We'll miss you, but listen, this is how we go out. Matt
Wow,
Money
that's
Smith.
A lot of ketchup as well.
Yes. It's time to pay off a bet.
Enjoy
and it's a
that.
Bet that...
You know what I think is going to happen? I think you're going to love this. Whoa. Matt Money Smith and I made a bet. I told him the Chiefs would defeat the Broncos in Denver.
And I knew they would, too. And I don't know why I decided to go... Oh, look at that. I got a little bit on there, didn't I?
No. Listen, you know, do it the way you're supposed to do it. Slather. The bet was to slather the wiener.
Oh, this is going
to
be tick. Can we get a close-up on this?
There it is. Enjoy Pittsburgh's finest.
Look at that. This is
ketchup.
Terrible.
There he goes.
I'm not, when I say I have not had ketchup on a hot dog in 30 years.
Can I ask one favor before you take that bite?
Yeah.
I want you to remember now where you are in 66.
Wait, Shaq, let him off the hook easy, man. We have 2 cups of ketchup there.
That's
a reasonable
amount.
This is a lot of ketchup.
I make him, I'm not trying to disgust him. In fact, that's my point, Money. Remember, no jive now. If that tastes good, you have to admit.
I will.
You have to admit
it truly
it's
has been
taste good.
30, at least 30 years since I've had ketchup on.
Enjoy it, and you're welcome, Matt Money Smith. See how the ketchup makes it sing?
That's so bad.
Oh, it is not. How dare you? That's fine. That's very good.
I'm just not a ketchup guy. It's so bad.
All right, but go ahead. Keep it going. Gets better with the fish.
Hey, Dave, would you like a mince pie?
I would like a mince
him,
pie.
Watching
very
him.
Like. Thank you. Yes. That's
oh, nice. I got to eat the whole thing?
Yeah, you got to eat the whole thing.
Why would you not be eating the whole thing?
Mmm. Now that's very good. See, the only thing that could use is some ketchup. I'm jealous of
Money. I might have the other one because I don't think Money's...
I'll be honest with you. I don't like this any better. The cake part of it is good, but I don't like fruit.
Let me trade you. I'll take that. There we go.
That's a good deal. See, now this is America. This is freedom. Ketchup on your wiener. Don't listen to Matt Money Smith. He'll want to berate you,
that's
but
really
don't believe
good.
It. MVP, if I can leave you with anything.
It's taste of Christmas.
Don't really let good. People like Matt Money Smith tell you you're wrong when you know you're right. That's my lesson. Ketchup on your wiener.
That was good. That mince was good right there, Hank. I got to tell you, man.
Let me tell you something. That tastes very good. Very
it's
good.
It's so bad.
No.
He can't even swallow. It's so bad. Take it, Hank. Now,
that is
break
legitimately
the tie,
really
Hank.
Good.
Isn't that a terrible combination?
Matt Money Smith knows about a lot of different things, but he doesn't know about how to treat a wiener. That's for sure.
Some host you are. I'm never coming back.
Emma VP... You have done gangbusters work. It's good a job as anybody has done.
Thank you.
Save me. I'm still the MVP. But you're close second. Thank you for all you've done. We hope we'll see you back sooner rather than later.
A lot of ketchup in your beard.
I don't care. You know what? I don't care. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it.
Literally wearing it. I'm wearing
my new coat.
Figuratively, you're wearing it literally.
Until ketchup is the standard on all wieners, because ketchup doesn't move. I don't wash this face.
Like right in the back of my throat, it's just lingering there, this ketchup. Ugh.
Oh, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Terrible. Yeah, Fancy Pants. French is yellow mustard. Mr. Fancy Pants.
A man who loves to take a piece of pizza that weighs as much as three bricks and drop it into his belly. Oh, he's so effete, isn't he? All right, Matt Money Smith.
Check real quick, I haven't done a shout out in a while, but big shout out to Emma VP, who's been a big part of the show. I'm just being honest here. Can I speak for a minute?
What the hell is this?
Who do you like better, her or Steph Curry?
I love watching Steph Curry.
The Steph Curry of producers, though?
I would say so, yeah. Money. I mean, still not to comes. If you guys watch the show on YouTube, that's all Emma. A lot of fun ideas, all Emma. So hopefully she'll be back. One thing I don't like about her, though, she doesn't like ice cream, so I don't know what's up with that.
I appreciate that as well.
Wait, what?
There we go. Ice cream's so overrated.
Come on.
So overrated.
Very fast. You're going to go and, or you have on Thursday's show, or Dig It Up on iHeartRadio, you have Adam Carolla, our old pal, on your show. He loves talking about pie over cake.
Yep.
The scourge of cake
at
get-togethers over pie when pie is there for you. I couldn't agree more with that. Ice cream, pie, cake.
Pie. Pie.
Cookies too.
Pie.
Oh, cookies.
Pie, pie, pie. The possibilities are endless. We just enjoyed a mince pie, a meat pie. You got the pumpkin pie, a nice lemon meringue, a blueberry crumble. Yeah, I mean, there are so many iterations of a pie. A cake is just flour, sugar, period. A cookie, essentially the same thing, just flour, sugar, go,
Ice cream is whatever.
Ice cream is an accompaniment. It's not, you can't have that by itself. It's not.
You know what's a dark horse, though? I'm just thinking this through.
I'm just spitballing here.
Pudding deserves a shout out.
Yeah,
but. If you're counting.
Pie. You can have a pudding pie. You can have a pudding pie.
May I finish? If it includes moose. If it includes moose.
And suddenly you're throwing moose out as like this. Is that a tiebreaker?
Moose is pudding.
Right, but then but just it's, say it's, moose.
Yeah, if and moose there's a the chocolate moose thing pie. Is say moose. That's the thing about pie.
I could make that a pie.
I love that you still have the ketchup right there on your mic, by the way.
This face doesn't get washed.
It's so good.
This face doesn't get washed until all opponents of ketchup are wiped clean of America. I'm not going to stand for it anymore. You know what? It's enough already. Thank you, Emma VP. Thanks, everybody behind the glass. Matt Money Smith, gangbuster stuff as usual. Handsome Hank, good luck to your Dolphins. We'll talk to you after that game, and we'll break down what we saw in Week 14, get you ready for Week 15, and we'll continue to talk about what's wrong with all the holiday classics out there that you and your kids are watching right now. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Find out more on the next DDFP.
Hi, this is Greg Rosenthal from the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP. I'm Anthony Jeselnik. This week on the podcast, we talk about Antonio Brown, different celebrations, Kirk Cousins not being a real quarterback, Bills fans going crazy, Caitlyn Jenner, and Bill Belichick's lady problem. This week on the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project. RJVP.